Anybody see a ghost?
Jerry! Finally, you and I on a stream talking about the music of a movie or show. I am so thrilled. Yes. We have never tried this. It is a first. Yeah. And we happen to choose the best soundtrack of all time when doing this. I'm pumped.
That's absolutely right. Yes, listen here. Listen, I gotta put my... Oh, God. This proton pack is... There we go.
We're good. We're good now. Hello.
How are we feeling?
What's up, everybody? Oh, man. It's good to be here tonight with you guys. I can't believe that me and Scotty are actually going to talk about a soundtrack.
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting.
Listen. You got... all this lovely. This song is just going to be playing on a loop for the next hour. Is kind of what's going to happen.
So. That's the plan. We're just going to talk over it. No problem. I ain't afraid of no ghosts, Jerry. Are you?
I ain't afraid of no shit.
No, it's funny. Shit. We don't know if it's going to get copyright attacked, so it won't in the podcast. If you're watching the video and it's just no audio, sorry. That's on
it
you.
Just happened.
But the audio on any other page should work just fine. But welcome.
Yeah.
This is actually very exciting because this is a great soundtrack to discuss. And of course, if you haven't actually ever heard of us, we're the Bombadcast. We do mostly Star Wars discussions.
Welcome.
But right here, we're talking about Ghostbusters. And as the month continues, today you're listening to the Ghostbusters music discussion on March 5th. This Thursday, March 7th, we're looking at Ghostbusters Lost Media, which is going to be really fun. The cartoon, the comics, everything in the middle. On 312, which is next week, we're discussing the 2016 female-led Ghostbusters, which apparently is controversial if you have a vagina. Then if you, on 314,
no, it's if you don't have a vagina,
oh,
that's
what
the people, those are the people who typically have a problem with that one.
Yes. Yeah. They get upsetty spaghetti because of the clitoris.
It sounds like somebody's about to get a ghost blowjob in the song right now.
So on 314, the Ghostbusters game 2009 discussion with maybe Charlie Ashby. And then on 319, right. Ghostbusters Afterlife podcast. Then on 321, the hype has been building to this. Frozen Empire reaction review live. I can't wait. I'm so excited,
man. It's going to happen.
This is really radio of us. We're just talking over music. This is weird.
We are. We don't typically do this. But yeah, no. Yeah, listen, Bustin does make us feel good in more way than one. No, you can honestly let's crank that down a little bit there because it has got like maybe 10 minutes left.
Yeah, man. This is a weird soundtrack because I don't think they realized how, at least to me, how much this would influence pop culture, especially the song by Ray Parker Jr. This is one of those songs that kids that I teach still sing. And not because they even know the movie. It's because it is a genuinely and very, very catchy song. So what a better place to start off. Can we start off there and listen to the actual original from the soundtrack? Is that possible?
Let's do it. Yeah, because we've got so and we talked a little bit about some of the behind the scenes with it, you know, about how like he had a hard time like kind of coming up with this theme song.
Yeah.
For Ghostbusters. He's like trying to rhyme something with Ghostbusters. And then like I think he said he remembered seeing like that they did a commercial in the movie or something. And he was like, oh, we'll do it. It's a jingle.
Yes.
That's how we do it. But this is one of the most, if in my opinion,
yeah.
And again, I'm pretty biased if you can't tell. But if you're watching video, I don't know if you can tell how biased I am for Ghostbusters. But I walked into frame for our audio listeners wearing a full proton pack. So it's pretty safe to say I'm done for. I'm dead. I'm Ghostbuster pilled. I'm ectoplasm pilled.
Ectoplasm pilled. But dude,
I got an ectoplasm cream pie. I'm all here for it.
for those that don't know, Ray Parker Jr. is a studio musician. So I kind of want to give a little bit back up on who he
is. Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. So I have it pulled up. Obviously, his biggest hit is the Ghostbusters theme, though those might not know, he was also in Barry White's Love Unlimited Orchestra, which means he played on a ton of huge hits by Barry White, you know, the classic R&B musician. He was in a band called Ray Dio, which is pretty clever. I like that. And then he went solo after that. His solo actually was very important, and we'll kind of see what he contributed to, what he played on, because he was a studio musician. A lot of his hits obviously peaked at, like, The Other Woman is one of his biggest hits. It peaked at number 4 in the US charts. Ghostbusters, this is insane. This actually gave me chills reading it just now. I'm not kidding. Ray Parker Jr. Actually, I'm going to just show the tab so you can all see it. For our audio listeners, I'll gladly tell you about it. What you're looking at is the actual Ghostbusters peak chart positions. Here we go. It's called Chartbusters. They gave it that name, Chartbusters. So, US number 1, number 2 in Australia, number 1 in Belgium, number 1 in Canada, number 4 in Germany, number 4 in Ireland. What's NLD? Number 4 in in Netherlands. Netherlands number 5 in Netherlands. Number in New Zealand number 2, in Switzerland number 3, in the UK number 2. Y'all, this is an 84. This is like the peak of Thriller times. This transcended even that album. 84 had a bunch of huge albums come out, but this is actually insane. Like actually insane.
Yeah, it absolutely just smashed into the pop culture. Like it hit like a lightning bolt, and we're still feeling the effects. Because it's again, you put this on anywhere and people are like, I don't know anyone who hears this song and goes, I don't really like this one.
No,
I hardly know anyone. I'm sure there are people.
It's instant classic.
Yeah, it's just one of those where it's like, man, this is, you know, it's got a good beat, you know, it's got some great, like, that keyboard. It's really, really cool.
Actually listen to it as well, but I wanted to mention one last thing. He produced hits for New Edition, Mr. Telephone Man, which is one of my favorite songs by New Edition. Mr. Telephone Man, Randy Hall, Cheryl Lynn, Denise Williams, and Diana Ross. He played guitar on several songs for LaToya Jackson's 1980 debut album. And of course, he worked with Run DMC when they kind of remixed the song in a rap. Okay, so he is very well known. He has a Hollywood Walk of Fame star as well. He's just one of these guys that I think a lot of people don't realize his impact and the influence he had by playing other studio shows. So, without further ado, let's listen to some Ghostbusters.
Oh, hold on. This is saving the day.
Oh, yeah, it is. Hold on.
If you want to play
the
Ghostbusters theme. That would have been pretty funny, though. It would have been pretty good.
That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think it's better to listen to it than rather than watching the video, just in case. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because this you can let your mind explore.
Yeah.
This song mean a lot to you? I'm gonna turn down a little bit.
It does. So this always just brings me back to like my childhood, my early childhood, you know?
Yeah.
It takes me to Saturday morning, watching a movie, just like hearing it on the radio. You know? I remember I got a Halloween CD one year when I was older, because it had Ghostbusters on it, but it was like one of those from Walmart. It was like a cover.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters. So I was always like, oh man, why doesn't it sound like the original?
Yeah, isn't that funny? It's like the ripped version. It's like the cover band version that you would get it.
Have you ever seen, like, that's something they used to do, kids.
Yes, like, yes. Oh my God. CDs,
and they like covered like all the Halloween, the hits.
Yes.
You know, like even Thriller, like you were saying.
It's so weird because now it's all playlist based. And so it's instantly accessible. But back in the day, if you wanted the best of 80s hits, you better be damn sure to look at who the artist was, because it'll either say my original artist or buy like a cover band that's just awful. Mm-hmm. And it's like terrible. I had a green like best of 80s CD that was nothing but terrible covers. Just like horrible covers that were put to a CD. It's so frustrating.
Some Walmart executive's brother-in-law's band.
Yes, yes. But dude, back to this song real quick. It has such a good drive. And such a build up, like this right here. Then it builds up.
Yeah. Well, just like, because you have like the beginning and it like is all like kind of like playing on the creepy vibes and stuff. And then you go right into this like boffin beat and stuff like that, you know? Like right into the.
And you know, Jerry, you brought it up too. This is diegetic music for the actual movie too.
Yeah. It's in the actual universe, so we could probably we might be able to hear it in the new movie.
Oh my god, I was shit because they didn't use it in Afterlife, did they?
No, they didn't. But it'd be great if like you had imagine Paul Rudd just rocking out to this something.
Well, because he says the line, "Busta makes me feel good," which is not used. Busting is not used at any point in the movie, is it? Like Busters, but that's about it. Do they ever use the phrase, we're going to go bust some ghosts? Do they? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to have to do one of my favorite things in the world and rewatch these things.
Rewatch Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I love that you got like these, it's got like good movements too. Like it's supposed to be a jingle, but it also like gives the vibe. It's like, it's a little scary. It's a little, you know, what? It's a little, but it's fun. It's fun and a little creepy at the same time.
Do you think that the cast or Dan or, you know, Harold Ramis and, you know, Ivan Reitman, like, were like, oh my god, when they brought this to the studio, do you think they were like,
I think they were like, oh my god. I bet Dan Aykroyd probably plays this, blasts this out of his car every time he like takes a drive somewhere. That man just like promotes himself wherever he goes. He's got like a Ghostbuster lined like jacket.
Does he really?
Yeah,
that's actually good.
The No Ghost logo.
So
he's all honestly, in. He's all in.
We had to play this classic, and we understand that.
No.
And I wanted to know what you wanted to hear next, and we could talk about maybe what it means to you. And
real quick before this goes off, like there was, I don't know if you've heard of the controversy. I think it was with a band that said that this is like stolen, like the
Huey
the,
Lewis.
Is Huey Lewis in the news?
I want a new drug. Uh-huh.
I want a new drug. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which I don't agree with because it really doesn't sound.
I mean, it's got like a couple notes, but I mean, with writing songs, like if you've ever written a song, like there's only so many notes that you can use. Like, unless you're inventing new notes.
So. I can play the Huey Lewis song just so we all can hear it, but I don't think in any way this sounds similar. I just think the verses are, I want a new drug. One that will make me sick. Like, I think just that's the part.
It's the music,
Yeah, I think it's just the, like. See, this doesn't sound like, you know.
I mean, I can hear, like, them trying to, like, be like, oh, this is.
Freaking ghost.
You have the same beat, but it's, anyway. Hey, sorry, Huey Lewis. I love you, Huey Lewis, in the news, but.
Yes. I've seen him. I've met Huey. He was actually very nice to me when I met him. I worked a private event for a hospital, and he was the performing artist at this really nice hospital gala in Baton Rouge. And Huey Lewis was actually very friendly. And then he goes back to a dressing room and he goes, he apparently told like the service manager, like, fire that little shit that came and talked to me. And like no one would admit that they went and talked to him and took a photo with him. It was me and Roach. But anyway, I don't think that song sounds all that much similar. We both have a picture with Huey Lewis. But, you know, back to the soundtrack. This one is the one I'm not super familiar with, only because there's a couple of songs I do like here. Clean Up the Town is probably one of my other favorite songs. But which one did you want to listen to or look at? Anyone in particular?
Well, I mean, you know, go ahead and throw Clean Up the Town on up there.
Sounds good. I mean, we'll do. And when does this song play again? Is this right before the big fight?
This is right when they get the first call to go to I need to remember my trivia. They're going to the I know the name of the hotel. You remember? The anyway, I'll remember it.
Like, yeah, anyway, here we go. Oh, this is so iconic.
Sedgwick.
Yeah, Sedgwick.
We got a call.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're freaking out. Man, I love 80s. This is so upbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and like, they interviewed these guys on that documentary I was talking about.
Right? Yeah, right? Okay.
And so what I didn't know about these guys, the Bus Boys, is they kind of do, like, all their songs are about, like, blue-collar, like, working guys.
Oh, well, they're Bus Boys. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, they were, like, they were sticking with their theme, and they were like, oh, we did the Ghostbusters song because we were like, oh, they're working just like us, you know?
Oh,
and stuff
wow.
like that, which was kind of a cool, like, I don't know, just a cool little snippet they put in that documentary. So.
See, I love talking music.
This song.
Sorry, yeah. Keep going. I love talking music with you because you understand vibes. I'm sorry, you understand vibes really well.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and this one, man, this is like one of the second, like probably my second favorite next to Ghostbusters on there. It's just, it's got that like, doo-wop sound that was popular in the early 80s, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of people went
through Stray Cats. Yeah, the Stray Cats.
Mm-hmm. Stray Cats. There's that fame. I mean, on Step Brothers, they talk about Billy Joel.
Yeah.
We do Billy Joel's doo-wop.
Yes, exactly. Well, they have that. And another big influence was Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was bringing back blues. Because blues became irrelevant.
Oh, yeah.
But then you've got musicians like this, it's so funny. I didn't know this, but I'm looking up information on the actual Bus Boys, and apparently they were Eddie Murphy's like band. They played on like
really?
A bunch of yes. The Bus Boys toured extensively with the original lineup, appearing with prominent acts such as Linda Ronstadt, Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats, and ZZ Top.
There you go.
They appeared on American Bandstand, Soul Train, and Don Kirshner's Rock Concert. And they played with Eddie Murphy on his albums. So,
yeah.
Incredible.
It's pretty great career stuff, you know?
Oh, my God. Okay. You may even remember this. Do you remember when the NBA had The Boys Are Back in Town? I don't know. I'm sorry. They played on the NFL and it played for the NBA from 2006 to 2007. And they played a cover of their version of The Boys Are Back in Town. That's so interesting.
Really?
Yeah. That's so odd.
That is interesting.
But yeah, this is a fantastic song.
It's just it's a lot of fun. It gets the vibes going, you know. It's like it takes me right back to that. The lyrics are just fun too. It's the whole like that thing back in the like I don't know, man. In the 80s they knew how to write like a song about the movie.
Of course.
Stuff that I don't think anyone can quite replicate anymore.
I agree.
Since Will Smith's Here Come the Men in Black in 1995. But that was about the cutoff point, I feel like, for me.
The guitarist, Vic Johnson, this is even more interesting. I'm learning. So this is why I love doing this. Vic Johnson played on it with a ton of people. This is insane. He, for a while, was a Saturday Night Live guitarist. Okay. He also is currently
makes it better work with Eddie.
He's currently, since Sammy Hagar left Van Halen, he has been Sammy Hagar's main guitarist. So pretty much he plays nothing but Van Halen songs too. That's actually insane. That's who Sammy got.
That's really cool.
Because he still plays on Sammy's tours, and he also plays on a couple of Sammy's albums and songs. That is crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh my God. This is so interesting to me. Oh, he plays the Whiskey. He plays in a bunch of places. So this is the kind of stuff I love when we talk about music. I've been, since I was a kid, I'll tell you some more about a little bit of history on this. My days, like over the summer when I was bored, would be listening to music and learning about the musicians that played on certain albums. And then it would all interweave. Right. And I love that we can do this together right now in the form of a recording and people can learn with us. This is a lot of fun. And this song is probably one of the more underrated songs too on here. Is there another one you want to listen to, Jerry?
Okay, play magic. I want you to play this and tell me where you think this song played in the movie.
Oh, okay. All right.
Here we go. You can place it. Okay.
I think I have a hunch. I didn't look it up where it was, but I think I have a hunch in where it could end up being. Okay. Because let me hear it. Yes. I love that 808 drum beat a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't this when Vinkman is talking to Dana?
No.
Okay, hold on. Don't let me keep guessing. It's not what I'm expecting, probably.
No.
Okay, just say it.
When it hits. So let's see. Skip ahead just a little bit.
All right.
Okay, a little bit more.
This is by Air Supply, by the way.
A little bit more. Go to like closer to the end.
Okay.
You can go back a little bit. Okay, listen for this into this. You'll recognize it when this hits. Okay.
All right.
I think if you didn't just recognize from that.
Oh, it's the ghost. It's the ghosts are launching up. Oh, it's cool.
When they come out, yeah. It sounds like it's a completely different song at the end.
Yeah.
But they only use this part.
Interesting.
This part.
Dude, I kind of like it.
It's a great song, though. I believe in magic.
Yeah.
I
believe in magic. Yeah, this is when the ghosts are watching.
My baby told me once. My baby told me twice. Three times. Three times. Nice. Please. Please. Please.
This is a weird one.
Isn't this great?
Yeah.
It's got the two. It's like a coin. It's like heads and tails here.
Yes. I like the idea of being able to sample this song, just the drum beat. Like, listen to that drum beat.
Drum beat's pretty fantastic. Man, I love those power, like, choruses, too. Like,
yes,
that.
Yes.
I believe it's magic. I believe it's magic.
This is cool.
It's a dude.
This makes sense now. This is where the ghosts are
taking over. The ghosts are taking over.
So, okay. This is a good choice. I like this one. If I'm mistaken, where is Disco Inferno at in this?
I don't know where these things are. Like, someone made like an extra special one. Disco Inferno might be playing in Lewis's apartment when he's having the
the party.
This isn't the official soundtrack here. I don't know why somebody made a special one. So if you could find Saving the Day would be, I think, the next one.
Wow, there it is.
What
you ready?
In the world? They got like a shit ton. Okay, so. The first two movies, especially, they haven't done it like in the they kind of try to do it in 2016.
Yeah.
But Afterlife and all of them didn't really have any song when the Ghostbusters are going to save the day or whatever. Like in one and two, there are songs when they are going to fight the big bad guy. And it's always like in Ghostbusters, in this one, it's Saving the Day by the Alesi brothers. And then in two, it is On Our Own, which is a jam in and of itself. But these songs always get me pumped up.
Yeah.
Okay. These songs are pump up jams. So go ahead. Let's go ahead and press play on this one here. I mean, just already.
I love this. God, I love this 80s synth.
I think last year they had like a Ghostbusters little meetup outside of the firehouse in New York City. And the Alesi brothers actually played their I'm pretty sure. Or someone. Maybe the surviving Alesi brother.
The Alesi stepbrother.
Picking up from behind. Yeah. Step sibling.
I'm looking up stuff about them if you want to keep talking.
This is it's the first two movies are pretty much, they have the same like structure where the Ghostbusters get put either in jail or in the crazy house. And then the mayor fires whoever put them in there and says, get them out, we need them. And then they come out with a police escort singing a song like this. So
They don't have that much. Yeah. They don't have that much on them, except for the fact that all their hits have been played. Wow, hold on.
Okay, got them good.
Yeah. So it says this. Day. Over the years, Alessi has arranged, produced, or written many songs, written releases for many artists, including Paul McCartney, Deborah Gibson, Frankie Valli, Richie Havens, Olivia Newton-John, and Christopher Cross. They toured with Andy Gibb in 1978 to 1979. They contributed background vocals to Art Garfunkel's Fate for Breakfast and John Lennon and Yoko Ono's Milk and Honey album. Their songs have been covered by artists including Peter Frampton and Rick Springfield, and their songwriting and or vocals have been featured in such films as The Main Event and Ghostbusters. Oh, they wrote a ton of jingles. That is what they were known for.
Yeah, so songwriters. Wow. Just songwriters in general.
Okay, David Lucas. David Lucas apparently was a famous commercial creator, and they wrote jingles for Dave Lewis. Oh, wow. Holy shit! They wrote the theme, the Mr. Peanut theme.
Really?
I didn't know they had a Mr. Peanut theme. So the more you know, the Alessi brothers, man.
That's crazy.
This is so interesting. So they haven't had that many number one hits. Oh, they're also from a Long Island, which makes sense. And they still play. Okay. They still play. They were actually featured.
Them, man.
They were actually featured. Their song Seabird was featured in Taika Waititi's 2016 adventure comedy, The Hunt for the Water People, and Resident Alien, and Our Flag Means Death.
I've been watching Resident Alien.
So their music is in that.
I wonder if they wrote the theme. That's a nice, like, real guitar heavy theme. Like, just like a do-do-do-do, like a,
yeah.
I don't know, kind of like a bluesy guitar kind of sounding. Anyway,
that was fantastic. A good choice. Good choice.
Well, if you want, Scotty, we can move to your favorite album because I believe there's not very many. I mean, there's Hot Night if you want to play that, but it's just kind of more. It was just on the album. I don't think that was in the movie, and it's fine. Come at me in the comments.
We've got On Our Own, Supernatural, The Promised Land. We're back.
Let me see what the track list is here. Let me see.
Flip City, Higher and Higher. Man, that's the best. That is such a good cover of that. I've listened to it nonstop.
Higher and Higher is a great one.
It's such a good song.
So, okay. On Our Own is the first one. This is all bangers, pretty much.
This really is all bangers. Album.
So you could even just start. Yeah, you could even just start at the beginning there.
God, man. What a fun thing to do, because, you know, sometimes soundtracks are like, all my kids love the Guardians 1 soundtrack. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it exposes people to music. Yeah. Yeah, it exposes people to new music if it's done well. And this is obviously going to be an example where it was done well. Oh, yeah.
And I really, really would love for them to do a modern one, because they tried for Ghostbusters 2016. They didn't really do one for that. Okay, here we go. Then here's the other song when they're going to save the day right here. Which, honestly, I like this one, I think, a little more than just saving the day.
Yeah.
You want something done right? You got to do it yourself.
So good. Oh yeah, I forgot the choral. Damn. What a product of its era.
Can you imagine like bumping this like when this movie came out?
It says so much about how good mixing can still be. Because like,
yeah,
I love the way this is mixed. I just love the
It's just, you get lost in this right here.
Yes.
Like, this is just, it's not like super fast or anything, but it's like a good driving beat, you know?
Exactly.
It's got a really banging chorus. Gonna have to take it on control.
It's so R&B. It's kind of nice. Yeah.
It's pretty fucking great.
Because this,
I want them to do a showcase of modern artists in this way. You know what I mean? Where like people exactly maybe that, like singer songwriters that aren't as well known. You know?
Exactly. Let's listen to this chorus.
I mean, just listen to this. I hope y'all are just like jamming along with us with this podcast. This is like a great podcast to listen to at work.
Here we go.
All on our own.
Damn, no, it's funny, man. I just want, you know, I just want to be in a car with you. I just want to be in a car with you. Because we've done that before.
Dude, the Ghostbusters 2 album, like, is such a great one to jam to. I'm telling you.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
To call the Ghostbusters in the in control. Well, all the while Slim was under the building. This is great.
Listen to this.
It's the entire plot. Vigo, the master of evil, try to battle my boys. That's not legal. They mentioned the party. Throw a party for a bunch of children while all the wild climbers under the building. So good. I see you guys are loving me singing over this. It's just, dude, the whole damn thing.
It's so good.
Wall-to-wall banger. It's just, there's not an inch of this song that is not cranked up to 11, you know?
And what artist is this again?
Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown.
Holy shit. Bobby Brown, man, hold on.
Yeah, Scotty's been too busy jamming to even look up the artist. On this
That's thing, right, 100%. Yeah, this is a banger. All right, let's see.
I mean, this can go in any party mix. It doesn't even have to be a Halloween party.
Wow,
that's what I feel cool. Like. Ghostbusters always gets kind of relegated to Halloween, like the music.
Yeah.
Just play this at any party and tell me like you're not gonna have people dancing. Okay.
Yeah, literally, dude. So I'm looking it up and I'll read it to you. The song did not do as well in. Well, I lie. I actually am dead wrong. So here's the charts across the world. Okay. Weekly charts.
Okay.
It's peak position. Australia number 22. On Belgium, 35. Canada, number 3. Canada dance and urban music, number 1. Europe, number 18. Ireland, 5. Netherlands, 6. Netherlands, top 100, 40. New Zealand, 1. UK singles, number 4. And then I'm going to go to kind of flip it up. West Germany, 18. Here is the U.S. numbers right here. U.S. hot R&B and hip-hop singles, number 1. U.S. dance singles, number 2. U.S. dance club songs, number 15. Wow. And then, of course, most importantly, the U.S. Hot 100, it went to number 2. It is
certified. Insane.
It is certified platinum with a 1 million unit sales. That's right.
That's very deserved.
That's very insane. Deserved. And the musicians that played on this are very interesting, too. L.A. Reid on drum percussions, Babyface on keyboards and backing vocals, K.O. on the synthesized bass, most importantly, Daryl Simmons, Melvin Edmonds, Kevin Edmonds, and Keith Mitchell, all background vocalists. All these musicians all had their own bands as well. After Seven was their group. And I believe, that was all their group with Bobby Brown, who, of course, you know, played with a ton of people. And the people in this video, I did not realize this, included Jane Curtin, Malcolm Forbes, Amon, which, you know, the beautiful Amon. I believe Amon was married to David Bowie. Victoria Jackson, Sally Kirkland, Rick Moranis, Joey and Marky Ramone, of the Ramones, two Ramone brothers. Yeah. Christopher Reeve, which is also pretty insane. Laurie Singer, Doug E. Fresh, and Donald Trump. And Donald President.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Former President of the United States. Donald
former
Trump.
President, current prisoner, hopefully.
It takes place in three locations: the Trump Tower, the World Trade Center, and the Plaza Hotel. So
back then he was just some like rich dude who was like funny, kind of like funny because of the dumbass things he said.
Yes.
And, like that's the thing. Donald Trump was funny because he said dumbass shit bullshit. And then he became president and ruined things. So
funny enough, this genre of music, which I never knew had, I always thought it was just R&B or like modern R&B. Yeah. It's actually referred to as a genre called New Jack Swing or Swing
New
Beat.
Jack Swing.
It's very rhythmatic. That's why I think that's we all cool. like it. So yeah, this is, we're learning here. I never realized Bobby Brown, obviously, I know he did solo stuff, but I didn't know I didn't know this was his song, if I'm going to be honest with you. I'm impressed.
He does one more song. He does two songs on this album.
Oh,
actually.
Okay.
So We're Back. We're Back is also his. So.
Oh, let's listen to the We're Back. Let's listen to We're Back. Here we go. This is exciting, man. I Bobby Brown, that Bobby Brown, if I'm not mistaken, let me make sure I'm correct on this. That Bobby Brown is, of course, the one that was married to Whitney Houston from 92 to 2007. Okay. Yes, that's Bobby. Oh, Bobby. Bobby used to be her drug dealer, which is so sad.
Bobby.
Oh, Bobby. Ooh, Bobby. Yeah, Bobby used to beat the shit out of Whitney, which is even worse.
Yeah. So Bobby's not such a great guy. Writes great songs.
Makes good music, but kind of a piece of shit. All right, here we go.
Kind of a shithead.
Dude, I love this.
Take a big boy.
We're Back. I'm going to look up some information on this. Dude, the mixing is wild.
Yeah.
There is not much detail on this song.
No, I mean, he wrote two songs for this, and On Our Own is the most popular. For sure.
Yeah, because where does this even play, Jerry?
I think this is just strictly on the album.
They probably made it for a single. Did this as the B-side for the single.
It's played... Or it's from the scene in after the courtroom they go we're back and stuff and it says we're back on the they put like the little what do you call it the little what that little scrolly digital sign
yes
on the
yes.
side of the yes. Ecto and it says we're back for hire all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, okay, that makes
Fight
sense.
The evil we will never deceive you. I don't know if you want to. So if you want to play. More of this or go to we got Supernatural by New Edition.
Let's do that. Supernatural, let's do that. And classic New Edition. New Edition, of course, huge band, late 80s, early 90s. Probably one of the biggest pop acts that kind of broke ground for bands like it was really New Kids in the Block. And boy bands have been around forever.
I was gonna say,
but in terms of this sound, it was New Edition that kind of paved the way for pretty much everyone else that came after. People like Usher, people even that still make music to this day that has the same exact sound. And I did not realize this, but they have been a group since 78. Jesus Christ. I thought they were like a late 80s band.
That's crazy.
78. That's when Star Wars came out. But turn up a little bit.
Okay, let's get a little flavor here.
I love it. These boys were all from Boston.
Oh, all from Boston.
So their band name was a play on the Jackson 5 because they saw themselves as the new edition of the Jackson 5. That's how they saw themselves. That's kind of interesting. I like that.
That's interesting. Turned around, she caught my eye. No, man, it's typical.
Well, it's funny now, too, to think about how Ray Parker Jr. worked on Mr. Telephone Man, which is a hit by New Edition. I think it's very, I don't know. I love this.
Yeah. It's like what you put on. This is what you put on when you, like, you know, you, your girlfriend's coming over or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like a nice romantic evening.
So when New Edition broke up, they formed Belle Biv DeVoe. I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy. What else?
Oh, well, that makes sense. The musician Ronnie DeVoe is really on there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm learning new lore. So originally in 78, Bobby Brown was in New Edition. Then he left.
Really?
Yeah. He was one of the people that formed New Edition. Interesting.
Okay. That is interesting. Yeah, again, Bobby, leave Whitney alone. Crying out loud.
Crying out loud, man. This is so interesting. Yeah, New Edition obviously had impact in the late 80s. They actually just got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Literally. I'm not kidding. Really? Like, a week ago. Not even kidding.
That's a week ago?
Like, I'm not insane.
That's absolutely insane.
New Edition Rock and Roll
Supernatural.
Hall of Fame. And wait, did you already answer this? Where does this play in the movie?
This doesn't. Like, so these are all just kind of like the ones that are just. Yeah, so there's a lot of them. So if you want to go, let's see.
Oh,
honestly, I would go.
I was wrong. So they did not get inducted. The Spinners did, and they performed in their honor because I don't think that many members of the Spinners are still playing music or alive. So they were were at the event in tribute to the Spinners. Okay, what's the next one you want to look at, Jerry?
Well, let's skip down a little bit. Let's go to Spirit. By Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh Crew.
Dougie Fresh, and I don't even know who that is. A couple of these I know. Dougie Fresh, American rapper. Oh, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to learn. I'm going to teach you big.
Listen, I think this one plays during the credits of the film.
So he was correctly. He was a beatboxer. And really? That's what he was known for. Yeah. He is best known as the human beatbox. He's a pioneer of American beatboxing. Fresh is able to accurately imitate drum machines and various special effects using only his mouth, lips, gums, throat, tongue, and microphone. This is not really, maybe this is all a beatbox.
Oh, this is the one here. Skip to the beginning or back to the beginning again and listen. This is actually part of the score of the film.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna play
it here.
I'm gonna play a little loud.
Okay.
Dig it.
Just that little.
Dig it. Dig it. Check it out.
You hear that at moments in the film.
Okay. That might be his voice. Some people hear it, some people fear it. Spirit, some people just won't
go near it. Sure as I'm me and you should know that you. This is great.
This is amazing. Spirit, some people hear it, some people fear it. Damn. It's pretty good.
It just won't go near it. I love this one. There's a force that's dwelling beneath the city telling you what you need not do. And it's motion. Stirs up commotion. Feeding off the people's inner emotions. Hatred, anger to one another. A problem like that you call the Ghostbusters. In emergencies that deal with reality. Making sure we all be free. So look alike or dislike. Cause people just might look so happy but feel so uptight. They can't handle the problem and they create. I'm learning about our friend here. Come on, spirit.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you some more while it's playing. He So Fresh.
Oh no.
When Dougie Fresh began, he was best known for performing with one of, I believe, to me personally, one of the most groundbreaking rap groups of all time, or hip hop groups back in the day. He was associated with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, okay, which, you know, made one of the biggest early 80s hits of all time, from Harlem. They're a Harlem group, and he grew up. And it's weird. I think they kind of wanted to stick to East Coast musicians when doing this,
yeah,
because he grew up in Harlem and Manhattan. But this is where it gets interesting. Looking at what he did, he, and this is what it says right here, I want to make sure I'm reading this right, he is a huge contributor to the Church of Scientology. He is a huge contributor, but this is where it gets interesting. He,
Elrond got him too?
Yeah, it got him. He dealt with foreclosure and $3.5 million in unpaid mortgages on three homes, survived thousands of several thousands in credit card debt and tax lien issued from the IRS. He has a foundation called Hip Hop Public Health, has been a spokesperson for that organization in Harlem for a long time. And yeah, so he's probably not doing his best. But
yeah,
you know, we all have our moments, we all have our ups and downs.
It's all right, Dougie Fresh. We're still, you know. Listen, right, you can leave the church at any time. You can leave that church at any time. Just like hide yourself in somebody's trunk.
I don't know how much he performed on, though. I don't really know that much about his discography. He had albums. Let me see. Hold on. Dougie Fresh discography. I don't really see all that much. Yeah, he didn't really have that many hits. So I'm still looking.
It's okay. Listen, Dougie Fresh, I'm sure Elrond loves you.
Yeah, I'm sure Elrond thought you were great. Not a bad choice, Jerry. I like that one. Is there another one to listen to?
Okay, so there are three more on this one, and then
we got to end on the best one. We've got to end on the best one.
We will end on that's the last track on the album, actually.
My favorite.
Then we'll go to a couple songs from 2016, and then we got a little special thing at the end for you guys. But let's do Ghostbusters by Run DMC.
Oh, I love
which is the new version of the theme song for this film.
Yeah,
they did.
Let's see where this
one of the did. This is. I like this one just as much as the Ray Parker Jr. classic.
Wow,
right?
Really?
It's up there. It's up there for me. They're both there because
the
same thing.
This had a designated music video, if I'm not mistaken, didn't it? Yeah, it had its own music video.
So.
Okay, let's see. They have different. Okay, I'm looking at the lyrics. Is it pulling up, Jerry?
The lyrics are different. Love the organ.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And of course, this plays during the montage after. Oh, this is a little different right here. That's okay. Still good. This is what plays. Here we go. Oh, you know what this is?
808. What?
This is the one that I think with like the really it's like a remix of it. I think.
Oh, okay. Let me find the original then. Hold on. Ghostbusters rap.
But Ghostbusters by Run DMC plays during the montage after the courtroom scene, right? Where they go, hey, we're back, you know, and then it's like them like going and catching all the, which is honestly a better montage than the first one, right?
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. Okay, let's see.
It's got the Doppler effect and everything.
Yes.
Ghostbusters rap. There isn't much details on this song in particular. I find that interesting. There's barely any.
Okay, this is the. I ain't afraid of no ghost. See, it's just. it's got the spirit still, but then
yes. Damn, this is good.
It hits good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Do with bright. Nothing about the things that go bump in the night. With no time to stall, you call the Ghostbusters. That's who you call. Ghostbusters. See, and I can see the montage too as this is playing.
Yeah,
you know, it's them catching all the different types of ghosts.
This one has a little bit of a rock to it too.
Yeah. Bridge, hit it.
Oh, that's cool.
See, yeah, put a little bit of the flavor in the middle there.
But faster.
Yeah. The cartoon was like exploding at this time, right? Like everyone, like it was real popular with kids and everything. So like this was a great like twisting of it a little bit. Like it still has that flavor. Just as iconic in my opinion.
Way funkier. Actually, way funkier. I never thought I'd say that. It's a funkier version. This is released as a single, and it was not featured on an album besides the soundtrack.
I was going to say, just the soundtrack. There's just some great moments in this. There's one like I love the my favorite verse. I think is coming up. There's a couple, like the last two verses. I think are my favorite. Yeah, they're right here. I visited the grave. My life on the line. Only my life to save. All by myself, with no one around. Did not understand a hand coming out the ground. I knew it wasn't mine.
Somebody else.
But I didn't care, G. It's so good. And the last verse talks about what you need to be a Ghostbuster and stuff. Like,
see,
just a fun song.
But this is weird because this is like the come down of our Run DMC's career. I mean, they had the mid 80s. They had the Walk This Way cover. It revolutionized the genre, definitely. But like in terms of it being like, this is sort of a weird time for this to be a hit. And it was a hit. I'll read you the stats on it while it's playing.
Yeah.
Australia number 56, New Zealand 34, and UK 69 did not chart in the United States, unfortunately.
All right.
But it's interesting what did chart. So you got the New Edition song charted. And that's so interesting to me that that version charted. But this version, which is just the theme and a reworking, did not chart.
Anything. Right. Right.
What's the next one you want to hear,
Jerry? Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so let's do a little bit of Flip City.
Flip City, please. Okay. Glenn Frey.
Flip City, and this is, yeah, man.
From the Eagles.
This song is, again, the montage is really kind of like hit harder in this, in the second one for me. This is where the ghosts start taking over Manhattan again. In Ghostbusters 2, like whenever the slime is flowing, the Ghostbusters are locked away in the insane asylum. So, it's just got, this has got like a really good, it's got the creepy vibe, man. Like you just kind of really feel, you feel the craziness and the despair and just, and also just the fun, the wildness of like, hey, there's like a bunch of crazy ghosts out there right now.
So I found this. I'll share this with you real quick. This is Glenn Frey's like early 90s website. It's like still his website.
This is an Angel Fire?
And, dude, look at this. This looks like a nightmare.
What but is this? Is this like
this is what it looks like. It looks like
it's got the slime behind it. in looks loving like the slime memory. Behind him.
Because he died.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Google. When did Glenn Frey of the Eagles pass away?
Glenn Frey died on January 18th, 2016.
He died in 2016. And I don't know why they never felt like they should update his site. Look at this. It even has a section for downloads. You can get avatars, icons, and banners. Oh, his wallpapers.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Look at this.
Why did they never do this? Beautiful. Dude, this is... Look at this. I will take this.
This is like this is like the most MySpace ass shit wild. I've ever seen.
But funny, the only link that was still active about this, there was no Wikipedia. There's not even a Ghostbusterspedia on this, but it has the lyrics to Flip City
by
my grandfather and H. Walensky. Look, stream Ghostbusters 2 movie clip with song in the background. Oh, it's like an unavailable. Mm. It's like an unavailable YouTube video.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, anyway, we'll go back to Flip City and talk about this.
Let's see. Let's get this Flip City. Just the vibe, like absolutely wonderful vibes for this one.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
The gong.
Oop. Oh, sorry, Jerry. Let me try to do that again. There you go.
Remix. Here we go. Dude, that 80s guitar.
So good.
Okay, like that beginning is when the shot when the slime is kind of going through a crack in the concrete.
Oh, okay.
And then here you got like people coming out of the like theater of Cannibal Girls and stuff. But again, Ivan Reitman's one of his first popular films.
God, he's a good songwriter.
The lyrics are great, and then just like you can feel the urgency in the music.
Yeah, it does. It has a really good. It's kind of tight.
It's like it's a good like oh things are going crazy, but it's also a really good. Here's a really cool song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was not released. Oh, I'm sorry. This released as a single. No, it did not. It was strictly a soundtrack.
Oh, just on the soundtrack?
Wow. So for those that don't know,
it hits so hard, doesn't it?
This is very 80s for Glenn Frey. It's not. Like,
yeah.
So I'm going to pause it. This for those that don't know, Glenn Frey was like the main songwriter for the Eagles. He wrote hits such as Take It Easy, Peaceful Easy Feeling, Tequila Sunrise, Lion Eyes, New Kid in Town, and Heartache Tonight, which is like some of the biggest songs from the late 70s, early 80s. So like, let's just take a second and appreciate that. But to see him do it this way, I mean, he was in the Eagles for years. To see him perform it this way is actually kind of incredible because this sounds way more like at the time contemporary, like almost kind of punky, dun 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 dun, like 80s.
Yeah. Why don't more punk bands cover this song? This would be a fantastic song for them to cover.
This I did not realize. This is actually very funny. Not funny. It's kind of sad. His final performance live ever was in Bossier City, Louisiana. That he died shortly after.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, I'm gonna keep playing this song. This song slaps.
It goes so hard. This Ghostbusters 2 was clearly where all the bangers were at.
I mean, I agree.
That's all. Yeah. We probably could have saved this one for last, but I thought it was important to go chronologically. You know.
I agree.
Just listen to this. It's that 80s synth with like that whatever like pedal they were using in the 80s.
Yes.
For like a electric guitar.
It's like a chorus meets distortion. It's like this weird combo.
Yeah.
There's like nothing on this song.
Where the Titanic shows up for
yes!
Cheech and whoever the other guy is. Not Cheech and Chong. It's just Cheech.
There is nothing on who else performed on this.
Just all him. It's all Glenn.
It might be. I can't find anything.
Maybe.
No fucking way.
What?
Steve Lukather from Toto, who is one of my favorite guitarists, played on this track. But he plays guitar on this. Yes. He is. This is so interesting. Hold on.
No.
Wow. For those that don't know, Steve Lukather was a studio guitarist who played on everything. From Michael Jackson to, I mean, apparently Flip City. I mean, he played on everyone's tracks. He's
all over the place.
This is so interesting.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I love how
I'm gonna go listen to that solo effect. Again. I'm gonna listen to that solo again because that is Steve Lukather now that I see it. Let's see. Shout out to my boy Eric Kahneman. Let's see. He loves Steve Lukather. Here we go. I can hear it. Oh my God. I can hear it now.
Smoking.
That is amazing. Wow, Jerry, you taught me something new. Great. I love this.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I love doing this.
Literally,
with
you. You just used Google.
That, but still, that was cool as shit. I had no idea Steve Lukather.
It's a great song. Yeah.
That is, and for those that don't know, I just want to actually include this real quick. Steve Lukather, obviously of Toto, he made the Dune theme for the 80s Dune movie.
Really?
So that's just a little fun fact. Yeah, like you can hear it. Not that one.
Oh, no, not that one.
But, actually, this Dune, to me, has, I wouldn't say better music. Sorry, a little Dune rant here. But this dude probably has a more badass theme besides the woman doing like that primal shouting.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait. That's not the theme I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of there's one theme that's just freaking awesome on here. But dude, it's so funny who performed on what. That always kind of interests me. You know what I mean? Like
right.
what musicians performed on certain stuff. And here's the main title theme. I love this song. This song's absolutely incredible. But yeah, I mean, Steve Lukather. Wow, this just blew my mind. I'm gonna go on a kick now. The problem with doing this, Jerry, is now you know you say you'll be up all night after a Bombad cast. I will be up all night listening to music.
You're gonna be listening to music, yeah.
This theme is so good.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah, dude, the now Dune songs just have that motif. Not so much a theme. This theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, this theme goes hard. But anyway.
This has, as Lady Jessica would put it, the beauty and the horror.
Yes. Anyway, let's get back to Ghostbusters. Sorry I had to go on that tangent for a second, buddy.
No, it's just fine. It's fine. All right. Well, hey, get out your toasters, kids, because we're about to go higher and higher, baby.
We're so excited.
Let's get the toasters out. Coat the inside of your statue.
So I know they referred to the Jackie Wilson version at the beginning.
In the movie, when they put the slime in the toaster and make it dance, they are playing the actual Jackie Wilson one.
Yes.
Or Jackie, yeah, but whenever we get that big walk through the streets of the Statue of Liberty, which that was in the first two Ghostbusters movie, you just got to have something giant walking down the street.
Yeah.
they are playing. They're playing the Howard Huntsberry version of Higher and Higher. And Scotty, like, since we watched it that night, Scotty's been obsessed with this. Your kids, you said, were like really, really digging on
this. I like this song.
This is really, really, really good. It's a very good. And I mean, if you've heard the original, like, go look up the original. It's a great, fantastic one. But this just, it's a great cover. It is a fantastic cover.
It really is. Ready?
Might be better. Who knows?
Here we go. I like it more than the original.
Get ready to be uplifted. This defeated a 16th century god tyrant. Good vibes. The good vibes from this song alone defeated evil. That like that bass, man. Damn.
This
should unplug your toasters so they can have free range movement.
This could heal people.
And just such a fantastic song for even just the theme to the film, where the slime is the congealed negativity under the ground. And we got to fight it with positivity. We got slime, and if we're positive to it, it can be a, like, it can be just as strong.
Yep.
And just to blast this to get people to like come together and like kind of like really like help neutralize the evil stuff, man. It's just this is just such a great,
brilliant storytelling,
fantastic song to have in that moment. Keep going, don't stop for me. All right, you guys sing at home too, okay? Here we go. And it doesn't get any more 80s than this, like, keyboard.
No, I love it.
Telling you.
It's so easy.
Just cruising, like, you don't have to like do something like crazy technical.
No.
For it to just be like at like
keep it tight
so well.
Keep it tight. Ah, this is good.
Absolute.
So love. Love keeps lifting me. This has been so much fun just doing this.
A lot of fun.
We've been doing this for an hour and 10 minutes. This feels like no time has passed, though, whenever I talk music with people. I can do this forever.
Yeah.
I can do this for maybe 10 hours and not be as tired.
Just blown by it, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Saxophone. Gonna have that saxophone solo.
80s. Oh, yeah.
Man, we loved the saxophone in the 80s. I'm sure I was born with a saxophone.
Loser, we lived in a good time.
We lived in a good time, Listen, back when the president played saxophone on national TV, you know, back when that was what the president did. Oh, and then that president didn't win in like
second.
So there is.
He made a mistake too.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll forgive him.
I got apparently, presidents are not great.
Yeah, they could be better.
Ba, 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 ba.
What a perfect song. Ba, ba, ba. What a perfect song. I'm serious. That is such a good song. Yeah, that one's peak for me in terms of song. It can't get much better than that. Like that, the perfect, you know, climax song, the perfect song to round out an emotion of let's bring the city out of despair. All it takes is good music and love and a symbol that unites us all. And of course, it was a Statue of Liberty. I'm excited to see where you're going with this because I don't know where you're going with this. I'm very excited.
With the next one? Okay, so yeah, 2016. Okay. Look up Ghostbusters by Fall Out Boy. We'll just listen to a smidge of this.
What?
Because they build that as this is the Ghostbusters theme song for our movie. And then they had like five other versions of someone singing Ghostbusters on the album.
What?
This is 2016. So, and again, shout out to Buck O'Brien out there. Walk the Moon is his favorite band. And they did a cover of Ghostbusters that plays during the credits. Pentatonix did a acapella version of Ghostbusters.
I did not know.
This is the problem, with a modern album, they tried it and like everyone just wanted to do the Ghostbusters theme song. But I feel the Fall Out Boy version of they at least tried to do something different. And again, I know I'm a punk rock whore. I like Fall Out Boy and all that kind of stuff. Worse. Like, you know, grow up, blah, 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 whatever. You know. But anyway, just play a little bit of this Fall Out Boy. You've never heard this one. You've never heard this one. You're telling me.
I am ready. Here we go.
May have.
Never. I don't think I have. Here we go.
Okay. Here we go.
I can tell you this much. I was in college at the time, so I was very much in my own realm of music that I did and didn't like. Fall Out Boy would have been one I liked, but I don't think I would have seen this one. Here we go.
No, yeah. Here you go. Get that Fall Out Boy rhythm to it.
Yeah, a little bit. This is so interesting. I did not know this existed.
This came out, they released this as a single right before the album came out in the movie.
Was it a surprise?
I was following it, so I was like, Fall Out Boy did it? Oh shit. It's a good cover.
I like it. That's kind of a Jack White album.
But they did their own thing. Ghostbusters, parentheses, I'm not afraid. They changed it up. I'm not afraid, not afraid. It's kind of like when they did the Extreme Ghostbusters in the 90s. They changed up the theme song a little bit. That's what this reminds me of. Yeah, but you got Missy Elliott doing a verse towards the end of this, the grid.
Oh, okay.
Typical verses. I don't know if they play.
I like it.
I would love to go see them and they play Ghostbusters.
They probably never played this live.
I shot.
I mean, they might.
Ghostbusters. I'm not afraid.
They got paid for this. For a lot.
They were doing like a Magic 8-Ball thing at their concert this last year.
Oh, okay.
Different songs, and so I would have loved if this popped up. And here comes Missy Elliott. It has the DNA of the first two songs in mind.
I like that there's a little bit of a rap to it. It's like a combination of the Run DMC version and the original Ray Park. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not afraid. Anyway, if you want. I mean, we can finish it if you want, but you can also, after this or now, whenever you want to do this.
Let's do it now.
Go to Get Ghost by Mark Ronson, Passion Pit, and I believe ASAP Ferg.
Yeah. What?
This like also played during the plays during the credits. And by the way, the 2016 Ghostbusters is like credit. It's like just... entertainment all throughout the credits.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Is it good entertainment?
I can't wait to watch it with you. I want to keep you as unspoiled as possible.
Okay. Okay. I have no idea.
Because again, I don't hate the 2016 Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I have my own thoughts on it that we'll talk about whenever we come to that.
So but Sunday.
Let's go ahead. Let's hear. Okay.
Sunday night or Monday or Saturday, whatever night you don't have to worry about Eleanor or whenever she's out or she's sleeping. We gotta watch this movie.
We're coming up to it.
So nervous. Okay. And we both had it digitally, which is so funny. We did not mean to own
that's
this.
One that they there's one that like they that's one they gave you like a handful of movies when you like uh-huh. open up an account. And that one's yes. included in it.
That one just gave it to me. So yeah.
But let's hear a little bit of Get Ghost here.
Here we and go.
After this one, I got one more.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love. I mean, doing if you want to,
oh, dude, this is a lot of fun. We get
this is so much. Fun.
I mean, it's hard to do this with like Star Wars and stuff. I mean, we could do that too. Of course. But like, I would love to do more music episodes.
Yeah, because and as a listener. Let us know what you think if you're enjoying this or not. All right.
Here we go. If you love this, if you're annoyed and want us to just like get back to talking, you know, I don't know how big Watto's dick is. Just let us know.
Here we go. I kind of like it already.
Saw It Coming is also on here by G Easy. That's pretty good, but you can look that up on your own.
Ooh. I like this stuff.
That ghost, scares you the most. It's not bad, right?
I kind of like it a lot.
Me and Scotty, next time we get together, are just gonna have like a Ghostbusters music. Like, I want to hear you mixing these songs.
Yeah, I could do that.
What are you saying?
Because you can literally mix this into the original theme. Like, it's the same notation, same key.
Oh yeah. So what were you gonna say about it?
I was gonna say
got, like that little bit of the original theme, right?
Yeah, the beat. So I can literally take that and then mix the original theme in and like have it flow seamlessly, and then that can blend with the rap. Like you could do a medley of this, no problem, effortlessly. Yeah, this is cool. I like. You can clearly hear. I can clearly hear Passion Pit. I don't know much about ASAP Ferg, but I know it's Mark Ronson who mixed it. But you can clearly hear Passion Pit's influence.
Yeah.
Synth heavy,
see, there's a part of this is even like, and they didn't play this like at the part of the movie where they're like bringing them like coming to save the day or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is in the credits, but it's got a part where it's like, funny how you're calling on us now. It just, it fits that spiritual vibe with the other songs of like having that, like, which is, again, I love that they went back and they're just really highlighting the Elmer Bernstein score for Afterlife and probably this new one, but we don't know. Like, since we're back in New York, if they gave us a little bit of a like various artists album, I would be over the moon, for it.
Because Afterlife, I guess we could talk about that now, unless you want to do one more song from this. Is there one?
There's
more song?
One more, but like, I mean, we could talk about Afterlife too if you want to, but the last one I want to play, and this one. I'm trying to remember. I think this one is in the movie, but this is just a fucking banger that I put on like multiple playlists that aren't even Ghostbusters related.
Okay.
But look up Good Girls by L. King. This one slaps. I don't know if you know L. King.
Yeah, she's L. King's the daughter of, this might blow your mind. L. King is the daughter. Hold on. Let me look up L. King. Pretty sure she is Rob Schneider's daughter. I'm not even kidding.
She really?
Hold on, wait. Yes, Rob. Well, King is great. She's Rob Schneider's daughter.
What the fuck? That, well, she's got a great fucking. Like, she's got the great fucking raspy voice.
Oh
like,
yeah, she's got like a great voice.
Yeah, she's got a great voice. Anyway, so you probably heard some of her still. Like, so I don't know if you've heard this one or not. Then, but
all right, I'm gonna click
let's
it.
Go ahead and let's get that one down there. The music video King. I never seen.
has that big hit. I think Blood in the Cut or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Blood in the, like, I gotta think.
There's, this is the big hit for me. This one right here is a big hit for me. And honestly, this is the big hit off of the soundtrack that I loved, that my, you know, the ex-wife, the Christian ex-wife didn't really like this one. And you'll see
X's and O's. That was her big song.
X's and O's. I need to look up more of her stuff because I love her.
Same year. X's and O's.
Marry Me, L. King.
I'm sorry.
That's all good. A little bit of the Black Keys sound.
Ooh.
Dude,
this is very original. Black. This is very original.
This chorus you won't be able to get out of your head. What the good girls don't like to do. What the good girls don't want to do. Here we go. This is a cool, like, it's like you're like, okay, it's kind of girl power, but like you go into the course and you're like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, this is cool.
I love that the guitar too. That's fun, man. Man, it's like when I'd be at a concert like this, you know? It's like,
this is good.
This is my shit.
Yeah, I like this one. That's a good one. Very good.
It's, I don't know why, like, that one's always stuck with me, and probably because I've always been a child of hell and just not even noticed.
Yeah.
But I'm joking.
Great bombs.
Listen to this. So, and now we kind of come to, again, so Afterlife really focused on that Elmer Bernstein score and everything, which is, again, fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I think both of us, I don't know if we talked about it on mic, but when we were watching Ghostbusters 2, we both talked about how that was kind of a really cool score. It would be cool to get your notes of that, like, in there. It was very like late 80s, early 90s, but had a lot of really cool hero themes. Like the hero theme for them when they're going to save the day is very good. Like the actual, like the, what was it? Kind of like a da 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 da. Anyway, they have a really good heroic theme. So if they were to do a modern Ghostbusters soundtrack like of the first two, and I mean even to a lesser degree the 2016 version, the 2016's okay, but if you could have your dream, let's compile together, what would our dream lineup be for a modern Ghostbusters soundtrack akin to Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2? And let's go more like, what would be our modern Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack? Like, what would you want on Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
So Frozen Empire, one thing I will say is the trailer was Cruel Summer by,
I want that to be in there.
Yeah, so that obviously was harkening back to, you know, the 80s and that Bananarama. That was a very popular song in the year 1983. So... I'm gonna pull that up.
Perfectly set up vibe.
Yeah. So it sets up that, and obviously it's based in the summer, Cruel Summer. You know, you can play off of it, and the song itself is kind of a timeless song. So, you know, if I were to do a modern version, like we'll listen to this while we talk.
It doesn't have to be just modern. You know, like you'll get thrown in a couple like classics, like this. But what are your modern picks? I got a couple too. This is fucking great.
I would have loved to have heard this, and maybe we might still. So I do love this song. When it used it in the video, my jaw was dropped because I'm like, this is a cool song. Because you automatically knew what it was setting up. cruel summer. Not going to be an easy summer. And the lyrics of the song are very cool. Like, the lyrics are going to be right here. Sweet in the burning with food on ground. So, like,
it sets it up. Oh, it's all hot.
It's New York. Look, they got literally shots from New York. So, all of a sudden, it gets cold, right? Like, this is a great line. Voices are saying,
this fits perfectly.
Yeah.
See, with Ghostbusters music, it's when I think of song, it's fun, cool vibe.
Yes.
A little dash of creepiness in there. A little bit. Or mystery.
Yeah. There's something to this song. I hope it gets years. I hope it gets years a lot.
My own.
See,
it's fucking great.
If you're gonna stick with the '80s, you know, I have some dream hits that they could obviously pull out. I would love to hear a Van Halen song in a Ghostbusters. Like, imagine hearing Panama,
pretty great,
by Van Halen. You know what I mean? Like, as they're driving, that would be so ideal. So, like, there are things you can obviously do with that, you know. And you gotta think realistically, what do they have the money to spend on for songs? Because usually movies, a lot of the money does go to licensing and having the chance to actually.
Right.
Like, I would shit if I heard Panama. But you gotta think realistically, you know? This is back in the day when bands would be a part of soundtracks, it was simply because of relevancy and that they could be a part of the soundtrack. Like, they didn't have to be. You were asked to be. And you can always confirm or deny. But back in the day, people wrote songs for a soundtrack. Now, most soundtracks, at least in the modern era, most musicians don't write songs. This is a Bond movie. You know what I mean? So, like, they just take popular and contemporary songs and throw them in there. So, yeah, I guess my top three would be, I would love to hear a classic 80s song. I would love to hear a classic rock, like, you know, like Panama by Van Halen. But I also wouldn't mind to hear something from the 90s. I mean, something that speaks New York, you know, would be important.
Yeah.
Like, there's a Kiss song called New York Groove, which could be cool. Oh, but, like,
cool.
You know what I mean? Like, there, you'd, and if I could do modern, like, you know, and this is not very modern, but.
Yeah, what are your modern picks? What are your modern picks?
I would love to hear Green Day. If I can have them do a Ghostbusters version, you know what I mean?
That would be pretty cool.
I don't know. There'd be a lot of musicians that I would like to hear. And obviously there are contemporary musicians that could make a song for this. They could do a cover of the Ghostbusters theme successfully.
Hey,
the Fall Out Boy one was fine.
When is Dead Poets Society coming out, or whatever it is?
April 20th or April 19th.
Hey, maybe one of those is going to be on there. Maybe one of those is going to be on there. Did I get it right? It's Tortured Poets. Dead Poets Society. My bad.
Yes.
Oh, man. Taylor, TPS, call me.
TPS, Tortured Poets Society.
Tortured Poets Society. Well, we'll go ahead, though. Like, did you have any other picks or something for that?
Honestly, you know, they can always revolutionize, like, and do something. They could do like James Gunn did with Guardians. He, like, changed the landscape with that one movie in terms of soundtracks.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone realized how important soundtracks were after that movie came out. And we hadn't had a good soundtrack in a long time. And I'm not saying Frozen
Guardians
Empire.
3, I would say.
Yeah. And, like, even that, though, was more of a modern take on a soundtrack because they could use modern music with the Zune. Or not so much.
Right.
But, like,
the early aughts. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want a classic rock song. I want an 80s pop song. Cruel Summer would have been great for me. And,
I want Cruel Summer on there.
Maybe a contemporary cover of something. You never know. I don't know. They could do a contemporary cover of like Take On Me. Like, you know, a great example of soundtracks. I know you've watched it recently. Probably was the Mario Bros. Movie. I don't know if Elle has been obsessed with that, but like they had Take On Me and a bunch of like classic soundtrack songs. So I don't know. That's my thoughts. What about you? What are you thinking?
Okay. So I put a few that I kind of like. Artists that I would like to see do a song for this, like modern artists, in my playlist, my Bomb Bad Makes Me Feel Good playlist, which you can still, I think I shared it to my Twitter. If you have Apple Music, feel free.
Yes.
But I would love to see Rina Sawayama
Okay.
do a song for a Ghostbusters movie. And the one, but if you wanted to use just one of her songs that already exists,
okay,
I've got "Who's Gonna Save You Now." That is on my playlist. "Who's Gonna Save You Now" has that same vibe of the either the ghosts are coming to get you or taking over, or yeah, we're coming to save the day. Who's gonna save you now? It's gonna be us.
Ooh, okay. Let's see. Let's listen to it a little bit.
I'm gonna say, I don't know if you've heard this one. This is my fucking favorite Rena Soyama.
You've told me about her before. I'm not really familiar with all that much of her music.
Our friend of the show, Trey Mitchell, he put me on to her. Rena Soyama, y'all. Here we go. Already got that kind of 80s vibe. Badass. This is gonna be not a YouTube episode for sure, but...
yeah. This is great. Go.
He's gonna save you now. He's gonna save you now.
Damn, Jerry, this could be really good.
See what I'm saying? Get Rena on there.
Yeah.
And
I like that.
I would put, I would love to hear, again, Alden's favorite person in the world, Dua Lipa, I think could do a pretty fun song.
Okay.
I don't have a specific Dua Lipa song in mind. I didn't put one on my, but I was like thinking Dua would do a pretty good Ghostbusters.
Here's
what in the world did she cover?
Don't Bust. This is called Don't Bust Now, which is a mashup between Dua Lipa and Ray Park Jr. Okay. If it's something
strange, holy shit, this is pretty fucking good.
This is obviously not a real Dua Lipa song, but it's
obviously not. But I would love to see her do, like, hear her do one, you know?
Yeah.
Also, this band really has the creepy vibes. Their name is Creeper.
Okay.
Okay. Look up "Cry to Heaven" by Creeper.
All right, here we go. Ooh, I like this.
I don't know if there's just like a
video lyric.
Yeah, we'll try to find a safe version. Creeper is very okay. Here we go. That's full album.
Okay, I can do that. Hold on. Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Now, yeah. "Cry to Heaven." Here we go. Here we go, baby.
I love that.
They're very horror themed.
Yes. So. And we're suspecting this one's going to be a little bit higher in the horror.
Ooh, yeah, well, they've said they're pushing it like it is. You might actually really like this band, actually, now that I'm thinking. Because especially this album. This album goes classic.
It kind of sounds like Dio.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, it's like early 80s Dio. Oh,
is that a little more of like a NPR vibe in their earlier albums? It's got a little punk, but this is pretty great, too.
Ooh! Dude, that sounds like 80s. It sounds 80s. Sounds like synth. Like,
his voice is so... like, he sings and they've got a girl... one of the girls in the band sings as well.
Yeah.
It's really, really great doing vocals. See, this is great. See, it's got the vibe. It's like a little creepy, a little ooh, ooh. Here, we'll let the chorus hit.
Ooh!
Yeah, man. Rad as hell, right?
This is amazing.
Really, really fucking good, right?
I love it.
Okay. Hot milk. Hold on. So hot. Let me see if I'm getting the right. Let me see if that's the right. Okay. Yeah. play Party on My Deathbed.
Okay.
By Hot Milk.
Party on My Deathbed.
Party on My Deathbed.
Okay, let me look it up.
Never mind. This one's not explicit.
So I'd imagine this is wishful thinking. Do you think it could? You never know. You think it could be possible?
Getting an album, I think it's possible. But yeah. I don't know. We'll just get a little bit of vibes from this one. This is a little more heavy punky vibes.
Okay. Here. All right, you ready?
Let's hit it.
Oh, I like it. It's kind of industrial sounding. I really like this. Wait. It's the drums I like.
This whole app. Yeah.
Yeah, really like this.
This is like, man, you're just like, right. This is music like Wayne's World would be rocking.
Yes.
Is it like the modern, what am I trying to say? This is like the modern Ozzy and all that kind of stuff.
A little bit, yeah.
Or maybe not like, not like, just like, these people really focus on, oh, hold on, this is great. I love those samples.
This is cool.
Great, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I you have extensions in your hair. Yes, I'm definitely still recording. Sorry, just Katie just surprised
me. What's up, Katie?
Anyway, yeah, no, that's a solid pick. You know what's funny? When it comes to like really exploring the idea of this, I really would love to be able to go and like buy a vinyl album or a CD, yeah, or buy it on
something,
iTunes and
something.
Have that opportunity, man. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Well, speaking of Katie would approve of my last pick. We don't have to play any of these songs or not, but like,
yeah,
Ludo. You know the band, yeah, Ludo.
Oh, of course. Ludo's great.
Like Pontchartrain and stuff like that. I think,
yes,
they would write a fantastic. They, in fact, they just released a song last October called A Canadian Werewolf in St. Louis, I think.
Really?
Is the name of the song? It's hard.
See, I would enjoy if they brought back a New York flavor to some of this stuff. Like, you could do some Lou Reed. You know, it's a classic New York band. You could do
an Italian werewolf.
That's hilarious. Yeah, Ludo has this great song about New Orleans right here.
This is it's a fucking great song. It's great song. They do a little bit of that horror vibe too, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, I think they could write a good song about like when things are going to shit, even, you know, yeah, kind of a thing.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's important too to acknowledge that a lot of those other songs are about like the horror of the moment. You know, like,
yeah,
all those songs in at least the first soundtrack and the second soundtrack are about encountering things that are scary. You know what I mean? So this really would work really well with that theme. And you know, I never realized until talking to you about this, like, there is a interconnected nature of all these songs, which is kind of interesting to reflect on. They're all meant to have this not overtly creepy, but definitely way on the creepier side than I thought they,
yeah,
were. Does that make sense to me? Like, there is a connection, yeah, there. It's so interesting.
I mean,
I realized that
it is. It's Halloween music adjacent for sure.
Yes,
but like that,
yes,
like I said, like it doesn't have to be. Like, you got the songs on, again, a lot of the songs on Ghostbusters 2.
Uh-huh.
That album could just be played at like a normal party kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But yeah, no, you know, it's just like that sense of foreboding, but also fun. Is just really what I think it needs to have. But yeah, I would love for them to do a new album, but even if they don't, man, even, mm-hmm, if they don't, I will be making playlists until my dying day.
Hell
you,
yeah,
guys,
brother,
out there, we want to hear your what songs
what would
you put on
hear?
A Ghostbusters soundtrack? Like, tweet, exactly, at us. Yeah, let us know. Let us know what you guys would put on your soundtrack.
before we sign this thing out, let's play some music, and then we can sign out using this music. Jerry, let's do it. Coming up soon, just so we can say that again and kind of get the plugs in the way. Let me turn this down a little bit. Coming up soon, we got a bunch of fun stuff for everyone, including this Thursday, talking about the lost medium of Ghostbusters. And then on 3/12 next Tuesday, the infamous 2016 female all-star cast that offends people with penises. So
it does. Yeah, it makes them very upsetting. It makes them very angry.
Very grumpy. Just super grumpy. And then Ghostbusters 2009 video game discussion on 3/14 Pi Day. 3/19 Ghostbusters Afterlife discussion podcast. Then 3/21 Ghostbusters Frozen Empire reaction and review live. I'm so glad we could do this today. You have no idea.
Oh yeah,
we've had a great time discussing this. We need to do this more often with other franchises, because this makes me so happy. And hopefully YouTube didn't take it down and destroy it. And hopefully you can hear it on Spotify, Anchor, and whatever streaming platforms you have, because it's going to post on all of them.
This is
our most copyrighted audio episode. Yes.
Yeah, this is an audio episode for sure. Don't forget, we are going to be, I'm trying to remember, we're going to be giving away a digital copy of Ghostbusters 1 and 2 soon as well.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. Be ready for that. Get ready to enter for your chance to win that. But yeah, guys, we got a lot of really fun stuff coming up. I'm going to make Scotty watch so much more shit. A lot more shit. It's going to be a lot of fun. And hang out with us. Go follow us on Twitter. I almost said Facebook. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Facebook too. We're there. But follow us at BombedCast. Follow me at The Cannon Junkie. Scotty at The Scott Jero. Yep. Check out Ionized Bastards, all that kind of shit.
Of course. And check out my midichlorians video essay if you haven't yet.
It's yes.
Complete analysis on everything midichlorians. It's got about 800 and something views, so let's get that thing going up. If you take your time
to
watch
it, your mom, but, your grandma, show it to them on Easter. Like, honestly, that's the perfect video
on Easter. The perfect video for Easter. That'll be how we market it. But everyone, what should everyone do, Jerry?
You should make sure that Bomb Bad makes you feel good.
Yes,
and you should also stay bombad and let your toasters dance, for crying out loud. Let the toasters dance. I get it. He sounds just like Jackie.